Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Welcome to the Football History Rewinders. We talk about the season in 1906, a very pivotal year in the game of football. Some big rules for revisions to tame the game, and we're going to talk about it and the effects of its biggest weapon of rule, the forward pass, coming up in a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we are here with another edition of the Football History Rewind. We're at part number 24, going through football year by year in our 24th year of covering the game of football here in this series. So today we have a very pivotal moment in the game's history. We're at in 1906. And the new ideas and proposals from January 12th, 1906, we discussed last time, really changed the brutal fisticuff style of play to a more wide open game eventually. And this very meeting and the ones shortly thereafter laid the foundation for the game of today by introducing the forward pass. Now, we had author Timothy Brown on a couple months ago talking about this very subject, the forward pass. And he, you know, alluded to it. You know, it wasn't 1906 where all of a sudden everybody started throwing the game and figuring it out. It really had a progression of rules that took it into about 1912 when passing really became really prevalent and opened the game up wide open. But it was leaving its mark. Now, saying that the more things change, the more they stay the same is a very adequate to describe the introduction of the forward pass of American football. After all, it was the most important aspect of the ancient Spartan game of Harpastron, which we talked about in early sections of the series. And the game evolved according to Park H. Davis, as he tells us in that very famous book we quote all the time, Football, the American Intercollegiate Game. And the very word Harpastron was derived from the long forward pass that started every game. So very interesting. And we mentioned Timothy P. Brown, the author that we talked to. His book, How Football Became Football, the First 150 Years of the Game, another great source of learning about the forward pass. So both those books are our main sources today. And back in part 22 of the Football History Rewind, we talked and made reference that John C. Bell of Pennsylvania and Paul J. Dashiell of Navy made an interesting proposal at this 1906 conference of rules makers to introduce the forward pass to the committee. The actual sponsor of this great reform was Dr. Harry Williams of Minnesota, and Dashiell was his supporter in the meetings. Now, there were many that did not want to see the forward pass introduced in a game, believe me, including some big names like Walter Camp himself. Nonetheless, the forward pass proposal had more supporters than it did opposition. The revision passed, well, pardon that cheesy use of words, just because it passed and became legal did not mean that the reform in the way that the game was played had occurred. Now, Harford Powell Jr. probably describes the mindset of football experts best at this time in his biography as the innovator of the football titled Walter Camp. Now, he says that the forward pass was lightly regarded by football tacticians who thought it as a last desperate resort, a sort of shoestring play that was more likely not to give the ball to one's opponents. That's interesting because the following season did not see many forward passes attempted, and none had any impact until the final game of the season. Or maybe they did. That's just what Harford Powell said. We're going to get into something a little bit later here in this episode to tell you a little bit different than that. But it's more interesting that the first coach to use the forward pass was one of the men who didn't support it at all in reform meetings, and that was Walter Camp. And, you know, he was the tactician of the game, he knew the rules, and he innovated most of them, and he played them to their potential. The forward pass was no different now that it was legal. And the forward pass play that Camp developed was not a haphazard or shoestring type play, as many thought, this concept. But it was a methodical tactic that worked out to use an opponent's weakness against them. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. Because the very first forward pass that actually happened on September 5th, 1906, St. Louis University coach Eddie Kokoms braved the new rules and trained his team how to pass and catch. Now, before we start the 1906 season, Kokoms took his team away to a secluded Jesuit retreat in Wisconsin for the purpose, written in his own words later, for the sole purpose of studying developing the forward pass. Now, in the opening game of the season for St. Louis, where they played Carroll College, a young man that played for St. Louis named Bradbury Robinson threw football's first legal forward pass during the regular season, mind you. The toss hit one went untouched and hit the ground, and at that time it was a turnover. It was very punishing if you didn't complete the pass. You know, like they say, there's only, when you throw a pass, only three things can happen, and two of them are bad. Well, it was really bad back then. But Robinson later connected on a 20-yard touchdown pass, and St. Louis College showed the world that a power of a forward pass and what it could do, as they went undefeated on the season and outscored their opponents 407-11. Now, we say that's the first regular season forward pass, but we do know there was a game played in January of 1906, or maybe in early February, where the two teams met in the Midwest, and they played a game just to see how the rules were going to work after that big committee meeting, and there was a forward pass thrown in there, allegedly. It's not unproven, but many people have gone through history saying that there was one, but it really wasn't a regular season game. It was an exhibition game, but it was a legal pass nonetheless, so we want to mention it. The big game first that was using the passing game, we told you about, you know, Walter Camp devising it. Let's set the stage of that final game in the 1906 and its significance. Princeton, Harvard, and Yale were all undefeated coming into the second to last week of the season. The two games that would make all the difference to who were the champions were the Princeton versus Yale and the Yale versus Harvard games. The Princeton and Yale game did not contribute to the decision as the two teams battled to a scoreless tie. And this draw did lead to adding drama to the Harvard-Yale game the following week, though. In its essence, it was a championship game at the time, and all eyes of football world were focused on it with great attention. Late in a scoreless game, Yale had a 30-yard run, which took the ball all the way down just inside the Harvard 25-yard line. The time for Camp's play to be run was at hand. We told you, he was devising and scheming, so it wasn't a shoestring play. Yale quarterback P.L. Veter took the snap and started to run around end. And remember, at this time, players who received the snap directly could only advance the ball if they were at least 5 yards or more away from the point where the ball was snapped. So the quarterback end runs were one of the plays where a snap receiver could run. Now, Veter was running at full tilt when all of a sudden he stopped in the backfield and tossed the ball forward to an awaiting CFL caught who rumbled it down to the Harvard 4-yard line. The defense did precisely what Camp envisioned them to do. They reacted in full force to stop the end run, thus leaving potential receivers wide open downfield. And Yale scored on a run from the 4-yard line a little later and won the game 6-0 and a share of the championship with Princeton. So those 1906 titles, many see the Princeton Tigers and Yale Bulldogs, both undefeated. They had that scoreless tie, them being champions. Some say it was Princeton, some say it was Yale. Others, and don't forget about St. Louis University finishing 11-0-0, no ties on their record. The Helms Athletic Foundation, founded in 1936, declared Princeton as the best team of football for 1906, while others, you know, the Holgate and the national championship recognized Yale as champions in 1906. I think it's a three-way tie with all three of these teams, Yale, Harvard, and St. Louis, all sharing in that great title. Now, meanwhile, on the professional circuit, the Massillon Tigers finished with a record of 10-1 and claimed the Ohio State title once again, in essence being recognized as a top pro team that year. Now, the interest in a forward pass had now started, and the team started to explore its possibilities for the season. They saw Yale, what they did with, and what St. Louis did, and some others. It was going to be the next year. You know, John Heisman was starting to pay attention to what was going on there with the forward passing game. He was a proponent of it. The rules regulating the forward pass were even tweaked a bit more during the offseason as forward pass mania swept throughout the nation. And the forward pass was not long on big reform. 1906 is the next time we'll look at a little bit more detail on the next Football History Rewind coming up next week. So stay tuned. Thank you for joining us once again, enjoying this great history of football year by year. We hope you'll join us each and every day of a daily football, where we talk about each day of the year's football history and great birthdays of Hall of Famers. And also check out the Sports Jersey Dispatch on jerseydispatch.com, Sports Jersey Dispatch podcast, where we talk about great sports history, including football, that happens in a daily and yearly fashion there as well. Till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.